And now a Hanukkah story written by Kinky Friedman and read by Larry Kinney. By sometime around 330 B.C., Alexander the Great had conquered much of the known world, including what we now call the Middle East. Like Napoleon and Hitler, Alexander was short and very much distrusted cats, Jews, and newspapers. Also like Napoleon and Hitler, Alexander did not get to have much fun in life. Soon after his victories, he stepped on a rainbow and spent a great deal of downtime hopping around hell on a pogo stick, waiting to go to Jesus, who, of course, would not be born for another 300 years. But Alexander left four Greek generals in charge when he blipped off the screen, and one of them, Antiochus, proceeded to get up the colorful biblical sleeves of the Hebrews rather severely. Antiochus's zealous efforts to make the local populace worship numerous heathen gods became a thorn in the sides of the sons of Abraham, and eventually a thorn in the crown of a young Jewish troublemaker named Jesus Christ. Trouble indeed had been brewing for quite some time before Antiochus came up with the brilliant idea of creating the world's first traveling tent revival show, schlepping mobile altars around to the local towns and villages, and making everybody pray to the trendier gods of his choosing. His program met with some success until Mattathias, out on a day pass from the Shalom retirement village, saw a Jew sacrificing a pig on one of the heathen altars, then watched him sit there dining placidly on pork tartare. Mattathias, upon observing this rather repellent spectacle, became highly agitato, pulled a large gleaming sword from his flowing mental hospital bathrobe, and skewered the poor fellow, who later turned out to be merely a reformed Jewish businessman from San Diego. Thus, the true inception of the Hanukkah story involves one Jew slaying another, the latter not only being unfamiliar with Jacob's ladder, but definitely never having seen the movie Babe. From there, things got progressively out of touch with the mothership. Mattathias and his five sons, led by Judah the Maccabee, a.k.a. the Hammer, no relation to the former rap star, moved out where the buses don't run. Then, in a series of history's first guerrilla raids, they began to slice up the oppressive Hellenistic Syrian government like a pastrami at Katz's Deli. By 165 B.C., Judah Maccabee and the boys, though greatly outnumbered, had triumphed over Antiochus and were busily at work sweeping the pork rinds, lotto tickets, and Scientology leaflets out of the temple. Antiochus, by this time, was in hell, locked in an almost piston-like tandem with Alexander the Great. Every time Alexander began the down cycle on the pogo stick, a precocious Jewish child would hit Antiochus on the head with a small plastic hammer. The Old Testament tells us that the Lord created the heavens and all the earth in 6 days. There are those of us, of course, who think he might have taken just a little more time. That being as it may, the ancient Hebrews, having already gone through a myriad of tedious experiences, were not eager to go against God's sometimes rather overbearing demands. They knew when the fighting is over, whether you've won or lost, it's time for a little prayer huddle. And they remembered the Lord's commandment to Moses upon Mount Sinai, "Take two tablets and go to bed." And thus it was that, quite wisely, instead of coveting their neighbor's ass or dancing the night away at the electric matzo ball in Jerusalem, they set about dedicating the temple for prayer. Hither and thither ran the Israelites in search of oil with which to consecrate the temple by lighting the eternal light. Unfortunately, the chosen people, following the Lord's wisdom from on high, had chosen to fight and die to live on the one plot of land in the entire Middle East that was totally devoid of oil. And these were the days before OPEC and the big American oil companies had generously made oil available to everyone at reasonable prices. They searched the whole damn temple, and all they could find was one little cruse of oil. That was only enough to last for one night. And if you've ever been in an Orthodox synagogue, you know that some prayers take longer than that. Yeah. Thus it was that a rather Semitic-looking Sancho Panza was dispatched on a donkey in search of oil that wouldn't be readily available there for another 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. To paraphrase Leonard Cohen, he was just some Joseph looking for an Exxon station. History records that the trip took 8 days, and when Sancho Panza returned with the donkey and the oil, his own ass fell off. But by that time, lo and behold, a miracle had occurred. Instead of lasting for one night, the little cruise of oil had burned for 8 days and eight nights. By the pale light of the 20th century, this may not seem like much of a miracle. But the fact is, during this period of biblical history, miracles were in very short supply. Indeed, between the time when Moses parted the Red Sea and the time when Jesus turned the water into wine, about the only miracle worth noting was how the people managed without fax machines. Today in America, of course, Hanukkah and Christmas seem to have merged together like two large corporations into a commercialized one-eyed giant targeted mainly at children, who are the only ones who still may have a ghost of a chance of understanding their true meanings anyway. Children have a way of grasping things other than presents sometimes, and some of the things they grasp are the things we have forgotten. That is why, given that Santa Claus may have killed Jesus Christ, and given that American Jews, ever uncomfortable with who they are, seem to be rapidly turning into a collective Robert Shapiro of the soul, the Hanukkah lights somehow continue to shine. The Germans were able to kill 6 million, but were not able to extinguish the festival of lights in Anne Frank's eyes. Deep and dark and bright reflections still dance across the countenance of every child who lights a candle. In the words of Hungarian freedom fighter Hanna Senish, another child who died defending the dream, "Blessed is the match that kindles the flame."
In the window, candles glowing, remind you that today you are a child. The road ahead, forever rolling. And anything worth crying can be smiled. So
Public Radio. And the folks at National Public Radio were kind enough to send me their version of it, which I did not like. So I recorded my own. Yeah. With Mr. Kenny and Mr. Friedman's song, Ride 'Em Jew Boy.
It's great.
Well, I was